Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
He counted on America to be passive. He counted wrong.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Passive. 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 He counted wrong.
Resolve. That is what September 11th is about. The resolve of the American people. September 12th of 2001 is long since gone. Now on that day, as President George W. Bush put it, America was on bended knee. But that was 20 years ago, and we are still here. But make no mistake, it is the memory of the thousands of lives that were lost that day and in the years that followed that spur the everlasting resolve of the American heart. From the winter at Valley Forge to victory at Yorktown, from the eternally blood-stained fields of Gettysburg to the surrender and absolution at Appomattox, from the sunken ships of Pearl Harbor to surrender on the USS Missouri, and from the ashes of New York City and 20 years since to the decimation of ISIS, it is the resolve of Americans that has burned so brightly. It is the symbolic September 11th that brings us to our knees. September 12th, when God raises us up, and then the following day where we, Americans, stand and fight with marble-esque perseverance, that always shows the rest of the world that we, Americans, will not waver in the eternal truth of our American ideals. And it is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they here gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that the government of the people, and by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from this earth. The words of Abraham Lincoln ring truer now than at any time since they were spoken at Gettysburg. And while today is September 11th, and it may seem that we are once again on our knees, remember that tomorrow is the 12th, the day on which we gather the strength that is our history. And then, on the 13th, we prove once again that those who seek and have sought to be our oppressors have most assuredly counted wrong. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to this September 11th edition of Weekend Update. From high above all other pedantic forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden and you're dumb as a box of rocks, well, you can go to the website, pull up an article, and educate yourself just like you should have been doing all along but didn't. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a giant roping arena or a fire hall or any type of building, really, well, then you need to call Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings at 307-674-2532. These guys are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they certainly do it better than anybody else around. And one more thing, you're never going to hear that dumb phrase, industry standard, come out of their mouth, because frankly, they just don't believe in it. They manufacture a lot of their own products, and most of the work is done by Morton Cruz themselves. So give them a call, 307-674-2532, or check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Are you hungry for hot wings? Yeah, me too. Especially some of those garlic parmesan wings. Oh man, are they incredible. Well, where you can find them is if first go to the website on the sponsors tab, and it'll tell you where that amazing food truck, Wing It Food Truck, is at. And then you can drive to wherever that truck is going to be and get you some of those amazing hot wings. So check out the website. It'll tell you where to go and go get some of those really, really yummy hot wings. I tried all day today to listen to the radio, but every time I turned it on, I was hearing repeated audio from September 11th, repeated newscasts and of the tragic events of that terrorist attack on September 11th. And while assuredly this is a somber day and we ought to remember all of the thousands of people that died and the attack that was perpetrated on our country, I think, however, it needs a new commemoration, one of resolve. I don't think that it's enough that we just remember that there were thousands of people that died. If there isn't a message that goes along with those deaths, then they become meaningless. What did we learn from that day? And perhaps more importantly, what did we learn from the days that followed? All of us probably remember the speeches, some of which I played at the beginning of the episode. But what did we learn about ourselves? You could drive around any town in America and see it plastered with American flags. People dug them out of every corner and space in their house just to put them outside and show the entire world, and if not that, their entire community, that we were united in one single cause of freedom. And our cause, of course, was to rid the world of the monsters who dared to try to take our freedom from us. But before we go any further today, let's just take a moment and remember those thousands of people who died on September 11th.
Ready? Aim. Hoo! Ready? Aim. Hoo! Ready? Aim. Hoo! Ready?
It gives me chills every time I hear taps. One thing we have to remember is that the enemies of our country do not come from overseas alone. There are enemies to freedom that live here in the United States. And most of them end up clothing themselves so well that it takes us a really long time to find out who they are. That's not the case anymore. It's pretty easy to tell who is an enemy of freedom and who is not. I mean, most of them just come out and say that they're either socialists or Marxists. And if they just don't outwardly say it, you can always tell by their actions. Shockingly, some of them are those who are charged with protecting our most precious documents, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. Yes, I'm talking about the National Archives. In an article entitled, National Archives Slaps Harmful Content Warning on Constitution and All Other Founding Documents, published in The Federalist on September 8, 2021, Haley Strack writes, and I quote, "The National Archives Records Administration placed a harmful content warning on the Constitution, labeling the governing document of the United States as harmful or difficult to view. The warning applies to all documents across the Archives' cataloged website, including the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence." And if we skip a paragraph, the NARA, which is responsible for preserving and protecting documentation of American heritage, noted that so-called harmful historical documents could reflect racist, sexist, ableist, misogynistic, misogynoir, and xenophobic opinions and attitudes, be discriminatory towards or exclude diverse views on sexuality, gender, religion, and more, and include graphic content of historical events such as violent death, medical procedures, crime, wars, terrorist attacks, natural disasters, and more. End quote. Really, if it were any other place that was doing this, we would just write off this stupid warning as completely ridiculous. But this is the National Archives we're talking about. Yeah, that's the building you walk into if you want to look at the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. So every school child that walks in this building sees this dumb warning and then is taught that, of course, the Constitution is racist, sexist, misogynistic, xenophobic, and all manner of other social justice terms. So when the National Archives places this stupid, harmful content warning on the Declaration of Independence, in an ironical point of view, they're being sort of accurate. It is harmful if you're a redcoat. In a very real sense, the Declaration of Independence is a declaration of war. Of course, if there was a library of Xbox games at the National Archives, there wouldn't be one of these stupid, harmful content warnings on those. But only on the documents that educate people on what it means to be a citizen. And really, the people that these documents are harmful to are the bureaucratic redcoats that are trying to convince people that the government should take care of everything in their lives. But it goes much deeper than that. If we just dismiss these harmful content warnings at the National Archives as stupid bureaucratic nonsense, well, we're kind of missing the point. The real intent here is to discredit the United States in any possible way by saying that we have a racist, misogynistic history, thus indoctrinating an entire generation thinking that the United States is a terrible place to live. One more little piece from the article, quote, "This isn't the first time the National Archives has catered to a leftist view of history. In June, the National Archives' Racism Task Force claimed that the Archives Rotunda, which houses the founding documents, is an example of structural racism. The task force also pushed to include trigger warnings around displays of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, which are all in the Rotunda." End quote. The term structural racism is interesting. They're not referring to the building. They're referring to the entire government system of the United States. The term structure is defined by our favorite dictionary as, quote, "the arrangement or interrelation of all the parts of a whole, manner of organization or construction, the structure of society." In other words, the National Archives is claiming that the entire structure of our society is built upon a foundation of racism. Now, the only place that they could really find racism in our founding documents would be in the Constitution with the Three-Fifths Compromise. But let's not start there. Let's start with the Declaration of Independence, or rather, Thomas Jefferson's first draft of the Declaration of Independence. The reason why we have to go to the first draft of the Declaration is it has a giant paragraph that is not in the final version of the Declaration of Independence. As you might have guessed, it was removed before signing off on the document because the Southern states wouldn't have signed it had the paragraph been included. It had to be unanimous, that is, a unanimous declaration of war. Just about everybody has seen Benjamin Franklin's cartoon of the snake that's carved up into 13 pieces and it says, "Join or die." Or more plainly, when Benjamin Franklin said, quote, "We must indeed all hang together, or most assuredly, we will all hang separately." So anyway, here's that little missing piece of the Declaration of Independence. Quote, "He has waged cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty in the persons of a distant people who never offended him, captivating and carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere, or to incur miserable death in their transportation thither. This piratical warfare, this opprobrium of infidel powers, is the warfare of the Christian King of Great Britain, determined to keep open a market where men should be bought and sold. He has prostituted his negative for suppressing every legislative attempt to prohibit or to restrain this execrable commerce, and that this assemblage of horrors might want no fact be distinguished die. He is now exciting those very people to rise in arms against us and to purchase that liberty of which he has deprived them, and murdering the people upon whom he has obtruded them, thus paying off former crimes committed against the liberties of one people with crimes which he urges them to commit against the lives of another." End quote. This opprobrium, this execrable commerce, it's pretty clear how Thomas Jefferson felt about slavery, isn't it? But it was removed. And if the story ended there, I guess you could probably say that maybe our founding documents were racist, but they weren't. You see, the guys that wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were fundamentally brilliant people. In order to get the Southern states to sign off on the Declaration of Independence, they removed that paragraph, and I guess you could say they thought they'd live to fight another day with the Constitution. Here's where we bring up the Three-Fifths Compromise, which every single liberal in the United States claims makes the Constitution a racist document. But let me tell you the real story on it. Everybody knows the phrase life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but it didn't start out that way. It started out as life, liberty, and property. Well, they had to change it. In fact, that was Benjamin Franklin, because he said if the Constitution said life, liberty, and property, then the Southern states would say that their slaves were their property, and thus they would have enshrined slavery in our founding document. So they changed that. And then the topic of representation came along. Now, the Southern states had a large population of slaves, and they thought, well, if each man got one vote, well, first they would have to admit that their slaves were men, but that's another story. Anyway, the guys in the North weren't going to let them do that because they knew that if each slave got one vote, they would never get rid of slavery. And so the first idea was to put representation dependent upon property. Now, the guys in the South were thought, hey, that's great. Think of all the property we have. So they came up with a list of all of their slaves and listed them as property. Boom! Have a lot of slaves, have a lot of property, therefore more representation. Well, they adjourned the Constitutional Convention for that particular day. Now, the guys in the North, they went across the street from Independence Hall to where there used to be a tavern. And they came up with their own list of property. Chairs, chickens, cows, horses, carts, buckets. In fact, their list of property was so long that it dwarfed the list that the guys in the South came up with. So they canned that idea too. See, the guys in the North were just being reasonable to the guys in the South. So they came up with a three-fifths compromise, and basically what that means is that each slave would count for three-fifths of a vote. On face, sounds kind of racist, doesn't it? But it's not. You see, at the time, the population of the North was growing at a faster pace than the population of the South. So the guys that were writing the Constitution knew that at some point in the not-so-distant future, the population of the North would be larger than the population of the South, and thus they could vote to get rid of slavery. Now, it took a while, but it worked. A brilliant historical time bomb. That just goes to show you that people that believe in natural rights, that is, true conservatives, are way smarter than those redcoats that sympathize with the British on their ideas of slavery and how one person is not as equal as another. Oh, you think that characterization is off? Well, at the time of the Civil War, like the year before it started, not a single Republican representative or senator owned slaves, and just about every single Democrat senator owned slaves. So tell me who's the one that believes in rights and equality here. Okay, back to the National Archives. The whole reason why they're doing this is to convince people that our country is fundamentally racist, and therefore we must change our founding documents to update them, to make them more fair, to make them align with the times. But it's all built on a lie. Weird. Redcoats lying to you. And since we're talking about constitutions, let's look at the Wyoming Constitution for a minute. By the way, I learned today that if you want a copy of the Wyoming Constitution, all you have to do is send the Secretary of State $2, and they'll send you a copy of it. You don't even have to pay for shipping. Pretty cool, huh? Article 1, Section 2, quote, "In their inherent right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, all members of the human race are equal." Section 3, "Since equality in the enjoyment of natural and civil rights is only made sure through political equality, the laws of this state affecting the political rights and privileges of its citizens shall be without distinction of race, color, sex, or any circumstance or condition whatsoever, other than individual incompetency, unworthiness duly ascertained by a court of competent jurisdiction." So right there, Section 2 and Section 3 deal with equality. It's no wonder why Wyoming is called the Equality State. One more thought before I let you go for this morning. In order to destroy a country, you have to destroy its foundations. Just like a house. If you knock out the foundation, it's not going to stand for very long. And the enemies of freedom are trying at every turn to undermine everything that this country is built on. That's why the National Archives is doing what they're doing. The enemies of freedom live here in the United States. They're not just overseas. So today, on September 11th, remember what our national character is. Remember that those thousands of people that died in those terrorist attacks died for a reason. And remember what their legacy is. It's one of resolve that started when this nation was born. American resolve. But it takes each one of us to fight. And so while it might seem today, September 11th, like we're on our knees once again, tomorrow is September 12th. And remember the people who we were on September 12th of 2001. Because the very next day is when we all stand up and we show the world once again that we, the Americans, are the ones that have historic and statuesque resolve. Left to say after that, come and take it. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.